You're listening to Dwelling Place Church Podcast.
I was traveling from I moved a small box, and I hurt my back. So I actually have a muscle stimulator on right now, stimming my back. My father-in-law offered to preach, my wife did, and I've been on the schedule for about a month, and I'm not so in love with the pulpit that I have to be here, but I'm going to tell you a story real quick before I start the sermon that makes me realize why God wanted me to be here tonight. I have, over the last 24 hours, taken Soma, ibuprofen, so if I get a little weird tonight, you know, may not be the Holy Spirit, but I've used muscle stimulation, hot, cold. I was going to a chiropractor, but before that, I thought, you know, I was working from home, and I thought, well, I'll go up to Starbucks. So on my way to Starbucks, I noticed I'm almost out of gas. So there's a Circle K across the street. I go to the Circle K, and I pull up, and the woman in front of me, her keys are locked in her car. And there's two guys from Circle K trying to help her out, and I'm sitting in front of her, and I have a AAA card. I didn't know if AAA would actually come if you called for someone else. Everyone's shaking their head. See, I didn't know that. So there's a part of me sitting there going, man, my back's really hurting. I could just drive off and no one will ever know but God and me, yeah. So these guys were trying to get it with like a coat hanger and it wasn't going to work. So I finally got out and I said, listen, I just called AAA and they said they would come out and unlock it for you. So there was about 30 minutes that we were waiting. And I said, if you want to get my car, she was probably in her 60s. I said, if you want to get my car, the air conditioner's on. And she goes, yeah. So she got in, and I didn't even bring it up. It became a God conversation. And she said to me, she goes, I don't believe in God because I've seen too much pain and suffering. She showed me her arm. She had been in an accident 14 years before that. She had third-degree burns on her arm, and her son had lost his leg. They had went off a cliff. And she was a nurse for 20-something years, and she mentioned that about a guy bringing a baby in that was 3 days old that had put it in a deep fryer. And she said to me, she goes, what kind of God would allow that? So instead of trying to give her some religious answer, I said, I'm sorry to hear about the suffering that you went through. And I said, unfortunately, in life, we make choices. I'm not sure why this guy did this or why this innocent child suffered. And she goes, why do you believe in something you can't see? And I said, well, you know, Thomas said to Jesus after the resurrection, or said to the other disciples, I'll believe in him when I can see him. Remember, they had the encounter. He put his hands through his wounds. Thomas said, Jesus says, blessed are you, Thomas, because you believe. But he goes, even more blessed are those that believe in me that's never seen me. So I told her that. So AAA comes, they unlock her car in like a minute. As I'm walking away, I went over and gave her a hug. And as I'm walking away from her, she goes, you've helped restore my faith. Now, I don't want to act like I'm some super spiritual guy. I wanted to drive away from the gas station. But, you know, sometimes along the way, things happen. And it was strange because the sermon that I have is called Life Beyond the Grave. Anyone feel like they're living in a grave right now? That things are tough? Most of us just spent Easter with family and friends. Churches were packed all over the world to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, including this church. We had over 800 people on the property. Yet a lot of people live as though Jesus is still in the grave. The question is, how do we live beyond the grave? Luke 24, 1 through 5. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked them, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? But see, these women had just experienced the trauma of the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You ever notice when we go through a tough time, it's hard to think about the resurrected Christ. It's much easier to think about the dead Christ. We celebrate the cross, but sometimes we celebrate too much thinking he's on the cross, but he's not. He's alive and well. So what happened to these women, their hopes and dreams had been crushed. And typically for us, when we're in a hard season, we think our future is dead and there is no hope of resurrection. We can believe, any of you ever do this, that things will never get better. I want to tell you a story. Remember 2 weeks ago, I did the offering and I talked about giving a $20.17 resurrection seed to a TV ministry. I had $52 in the bank. I'm 52 years old. I didn't even think about that. 52. I've accomplished a lot in life. I have $1 a year. But so I didn't know I was going to be doing the offering until before service, and my mother-in-law, Pastor Susan, asked me to do it. So I had no notes, wasn't prepared, and I'm kind of obsessive about notes, just in case I get lost and don't know what to say next. But I got up, I did it. I walked to the back to use the bathroom, and then I went over to the information booth, and a lady walks up to me, and she hands me $500. And she said to me, she said, what's strange is I was talking to him before service, her and her husband. And she said, the whole time you were talking to us, we knew we were supposed to give this money to you. My husband has what he calls a God pocket. And he had the money in his pocket. You can just never outgive God in any way. And I have such weak faith sometimes. And it's amazing how he comes through. Because he is resurrected. The angels tell them the following verses 6 and 7. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. But sometimes our own pain and suffering can cause us to forget his promises. Now think about this statement. It's easy to shout over victory. We just had Easter. Everyone's shouting, Jesus, he's alive. He's risen. But it's hard to see it when you're in the battle. See, when you're in the battle, all of a sudden, why are they going to the grave and going, where's he at? Shouldn't they believe he's resurrected? But now they're in a battle. The question becomes, do they believe what he said before they see him again? Now I want to pick up the rest of the story. My wife, she's here in the back, Suzanne. She's like, hi. She's hot. She's hot. How many men are married in here? Just turn to your wife right now and say, baby, you hot. Oh, look. I married them down. Look at that. They're getting cray-cray. That's some Song of Solomon stuff going on over here. But my wife told me this. I thought it was really good. Most of you women are probably, and some guys may have thought about this before, but I didn't. I just read out of the book of Luke, but she said, keep in mind that Luke was retelling a story, but John had a firsthand account. You ever thought about that? John was at the grave. Luke was just retelling a story someone else told him. So in John 20, verse 2, she ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and obviously a very humble one at that. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. Now, here's what I find odd. She had just encountered two angels that told Mary that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So why would she still believe someone had taken or stolen the body? Because when you go to John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, the enemy is always wanting to steal our belief. He's wanting to steal our faith. And the more difficult the season becomes, the more difficult the time. Like John Tone's a friend. John, hold your hand up over here. I've known John for probably about the same time amount of time I've known Matt. John's dealt with sickness after sickness after sickness in his body. And sometimes when you go through that, you can just start going, is God really alive? How many of you in your finances, health? But the thing is, he is alive and well. And what I respect about John is he keeps showing up. You know, I always say with people, they go, what is it about church that'll really change your life? I'm like, man, just be like Nike. Just do it. Just show up. I mean, if you show up, amazing things happen. None of us would know each other if we didn't show up. There's nothing magical about it. It's just about showing up. Once again, the trauma can cause us to believe the devil. The thing is this, I just seen this recently. If you listen to the wrong radio, the devil will become your DJ. He's going to be the one that's going to speak to you. But see, we have the Holy Spirit, so we can have someone else speaking to us. John 20, verses 3 through 5. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and he came to the tomb first, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Don't you think, like, if you ran to the tomb, wouldn't you, like, go in? But how many people just kind of check out God from a distance? Here's the interesting thing. I want to focus on the word saw. John, it says in the original language, he kind of gazed upon the situation. He was more from a mental standpoint going, oh, yeah, Jesus is in there. Now, we don't know exactly what John was thinking. Maybe John, because he was so secure in his relationship with the Lord, that he said he's the disciple that Jesus loves. Maybe he didn't feel it necessary to go inside. How many people in our lives are standing at a distance because they don't know what Jesus looks like, and they're only going to see Jesus in you and me? People are always standing at a distance. But see, here's the thing with Peter. This is what I love about Peter. And this is going to relate to you, especially if you're going through some pain and suffering right now. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there. The word saw for him is different. It says Peter went inside and he seen it differently. He surveyed it. He scrutinized it. He probably went over and picked up the linens because Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. So he's probably like, man, I hope he's alive. You ever notice when you're going through a difficult time, all of a sudden you're like, man, I hope this is real. I sent in Suzanne a text message, I don't know, a week ago, because beside the blessing of the $500, a few days later, now you got to remember, I got blessed with $500. I don't know, 5 days later, sending Suzanne a text going, where's God? Where is God? And we know it's not about the money, but I was making it about that. So Suzanne, she's always like real calm and, you know, spiritual and actually loves the Lord. But she writes me back literally within a minute, and she goes, someone just walked in and gave me a check for $1,000. But here's the thing, it's funny. I realized all of a sudden how I tend to change the way I see Jesus based on the blessing instead of realizing he's the same Jesus when he laid in the grave for 3 days as he was when he went on the cross, as he was when he was resurrected. So I had to start going, man, what is wrong with me? Why am I so affected by this? I mean, even tonight, there's a part of me that I didn't want to get up and preach. I mean, literally, I was laying in the bed half the day and doing all this stuff, and I was like, am I controlled by fear? What Jesus do I serve? And plus, I looked at it this way. If my back goes out, you guys all know Jesus, right? So you could pray over me. What a better place to be. It's better than being in a bar, right? You guys and drinking of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I like that. I don't know. Ray and Snuggles were just on a cruise. They drinking the Holy Spirit there? Yeah, I like that. But no, seriously. I told Suzanne, I go, if I get up here, plus she brought a sermon just in case. Isn't that what women do? They always got us covered. See, John 28:9. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. See, victory is bought on the mountaintop, but it's received in the valley. I'll show you. Peter, James, and John, remember the story of the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses, Jesus, and I believe it was Elijah. Cloud comes down. Peter, James, and John are there. They're like, we should build an altar. See, they were on the mountaintop. But see, where victory really comes is in the valley. See, now all of a sudden, they're looking at an empty tomb. And it says, for as yet they did not know that the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. So when we go to the mountaintop, if you're in a mountaintop right now, awesome. It's only preparing you to walk through a valley. I don't know about you guys. I don't always like it. But usually the toughest parts of life is what we learn the most from. And if you're prepared in the mountaintop experiences, you'll be prepared in the valley. And that's usually where we grow. Anybody has kids? Who has kids in here? You ever look at your kid and go, man, I think I want to return now, like a return policy? But, you know, I remember one time my oldest daughter, she was real little at the time, and we had a baby monitor. She's like kicking and screaming, and we're looking in the baby monitor, and a lot of moms would know this. Like, there's a certain point where you can't run to them every single time, right? But the more I watched it, I was like, oh, man, I'm like that. And God's looking at me down in the crib going, what's he screaming his head off about? It's not that bad. It's all going to work out. But that's what we do sometimes is we kick and scream going, where are you, God? Feed me, feed me, feed me. But at a certain point, we have to realize he's our Father. And if you ask, you'll receive. I want to show you the video. How many of you were here on Easter? They showed a really cool video. You guys remember that? You want to see that video again? All right, here we go. Come on, we can give Jesus Christ a better applause than that. He is alive and well. See, Jesus Christ knocked out the power of sin. He gave his life for us so we can give our life for him. Sometimes I forget that he gave his life for me so I can live my life for him. That's what we do. If you want to know what your purpose is in life, if you're not a Christian, it's to find Jesus. He's looking for you. The question is, are you looking for him? But after you find Jesus, or he finds you, then your purpose is to bring him glory. That's what it's all about. I'm 52 years old. I don't know, I may have 30-something years left. 52's went by in a blink. I'm sure 30's going to go by in a blink. So if my life's not all about him, it doesn't mean anything. Even if you're here tonight, you don't know about the resurrected Christ, just know if your life seems dead right now, he can raise all things back to life because he is alive and well. And I want to end with this. I think I'm going to get my mother-in-law up at the end too, and she can't stand that. So everybody just look at her right now. See her right there? Before I finish up, I was just thinking, like, with her. See, she was my pastor before she was my mother-in-law. Like, for 2 years, I went to church here. Most people don't know this. I never stepped foot in this church until I was 34 years old. I didn't know anybody. Nobody. I actually came with my grandmother only because this building wasn't here at the time. We were turning around in the parking lot. The main church was in the children's church. Yolinda's sitting back there. Her and her husband would probably remember that. And we was turning around in the parking lot. I was just here on vacation from Texas. And my grandmother goes, "Oh, the Dwelling Place. That seems like a neat place. Let's go in there." And I'd been going to church every week in Texas. So we come in a month later, I ended up moving here. And the thing that's funny is when your pastor is your pastor first and they become your mother and father-in-law afterwards, it's kind of weird. You know what I mean? Like when I mean, I still do it. A lot of times when I talk to her, I'll call her Pastor Susan, and she calls me Steve Ryan. I don't know if that's an indictment or what that is. But even with my father-in-law. But the other thing is, I remember her often saying, you have to be ready in season and out of season. And, you know, when you've done it look, she's like, whatever. You never meant that, right? But the thing is, sorry, I kind of tweaked my back there just a little bit. I guess, yeah, there you go. I like that. It's the Holy Spirit in you guys. Look at Tracy right now. Tracy and Freddie right here. I'm just looking down here at Tracy and Freddie. Look, can you guys stand up for just a second? Look at this young, good-looking couple. Can we give them a round of applause? I don't even know why I threw that in there. I was trying to get it off my back, but hey, they. And Freddie, he takes care of people's lawns and all that. You know, you see how beautiful our property is here? It's that man right there. So, like, Tracy, you're married to, like, a curator. Like, curator of love. All right, here we go. And then we'll get my mother-in-law. I'm staying right on schedule. John 20, verses 19 through 22. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. The disciples had heard Jesus say peace before in the middle of the storm. Remember? They're in a storm. He's in the bottom of the boat. He gets up. "Peace, be still." Everything's calm. But here's what's interesting about peace in these verses. In the original language, it says it's a peace that only comes through salvation. Do you remember the moment you got saved? Some people can remember it, but Ray, you were like 45, right? I had a dramatic conversion, and all of a sudden, there's just this overwhelming peace that comes over you. I find it odd because now Jesus is on the other side of resurrection, and he's speaking peace to them. See, before he spoke to the storm outside of them, now he's speaking to the storm inside of them. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds on his hand and his side. They were filled with joy, and when they saw the Lord, and again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Before I say this last thing, you know when God breathed into Adam, when you look in the original language, which is kind of cool about it, when he breathed into him, it would be like, I've used this analogy before, where you go down and you jump in a pool and you come back up, and as soon as you come up out of the water, you go, done that before? That's what happened when Adam got filled with God, was face to face. All of a sudden, you feel the Holy Spirit. You feel the peace. What I love about church, no matter how bad I feel, when I walk into church, I start to feel like I can breathe again. It's just, man, it's so peaceful. So no matter what you're facing, never forget that Jesus Christ is alive and well. And he has filled you with the Holy Spirit, who will guide and direct your steps. You guys having a good time tonight? Some good worship? How about Matt? Shemaine, listen. You got your good man right there. Don't let him go. And just one more thing, a shout out to the guys. Just turn to your wife and say, I think I'm awesome. If it's your girlfriend, say, I know I'm awesome. All right, let's give a round of applause.